Jesus was just passing through the town of Jericho, and in Jericho there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector for the region, and so, of course, he was very rich. But he was also a man who was short in stature. And because of the crowds surrounding Jesus and everyone that wanted to see Jesus, he could not see Jesus and wanted to very badly see Jesus. So he ran up ahead of the crowd and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And there indeed he saw Jesus as Jesus was coming towards him, and Jesus saw him. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Zacchaeus, come on down immediately, for I must go to your house today." So Zacchaeus came down and welcomed Jesus into his house with joy. But everyone around that saw this said, "Is he really going to eat with that sinner?" Meanwhile, at the house, Zacchaeus stood up and he said, "Lord, look, today I'm going to give away half of my possessions, and if I've cheated anyone at all, I'm going to repay them four times the amount." And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this house today, for he too is a child of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek the lost." Throughout the month of March, we have been talking about journeys and taking a trip with Jesus. Luke especially makes a point of saying that Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem, the ultimate goal, where we will be next week with the palms. Today he's passing through Jericho. Before that, he was in the borderlands, and at the beginning of our journey on March 4th, Jesus turns around and explains to the people that you're going to have to carry a cross if you want to follow me. The crowds are still here. The crowds are still here. And Zacchaeus is one of those that is an outcast, like the lepers last week, outcast that Jesus sees. "I was just passing through on my way back to Ohio from Massachusetts, and right off the highway is a little town called Newtown, Connecticut. I was only there an hour. Newtown. If you turn to the right, it's Newtown. If you turn to the left, it's Sandy Hook. Smaller than I thought it was. And there I saw the school that where the tragedy took place over 5 years ago. This is the new school, because the old one was torn down. A $50 million new school had been replaced at the same site that the state gave them that money to do so. It's a brand new with a state-of-the-art security system with barricades, but since it was a Saturday, I was able to get up and take a picture on that rainy day. Nearby is where there will be eventually a memorial for those 26 people who were slain. There is nothing in the town. No memorial, no statue, no plaque, no list of names, no signs that indicate that something of significance happened. It's a town that just wants to be normal, wants to be every day. I stopped in this diner called the Blue Colony Diner. It's a 50s place, and I was served with friendly staff, and the people that were sitting next to me struck up a conversation with me and wondered if I had ever been here before. I said no. There was all these things on the menu, and I ordered breakfast food, and I got it almost right away. Couldn't believe it. I looked around and I wondered to myself, the grandparents that were there, if they knew somebody in their family who had been slain that day. And as a group of middle school students came in, I wondered to myself, maybe that they knew somebody. Maybe they were in that school that day. Maybe they wanted to forget. Maybe they wanted to be thought of differently. Somehow I got that impression that they wanted to be thought of as not a place of tragedy. They don't want a memorial that will become a tourist destination. They want to be thought of as a nice place. I think Zacchaeus, deep down, wanted to be thought of as somebody different. He wanted to be seen differently. And Jesus did see him. He invited him himself to his house, which, as we said, in our days would have been considered rude. But in those days, it was quite a different thing. Jesus is honoring him. And of course, people wondered why Zacchaeus, this sinner, this worst offender, a sinner of the worst kind, a cheat. Cheat because tax collectors, as we said in our children's moment, took more than they should have been taken. The object of being a tax collector was to make a profit, to not be fair, to make a profit. And so, of course, he was rich. He took for himself what he wanted. Tax collectors were seen as traitors to the Jewish cause, because they were Jewish people who worked for the ruling Romans. And he would have been considered unclean, 3 strikes against him, because he had all of these Gentiles in and around his house collecting taxes. He would have been somebody that had no friends. On top of that, he was a short guy, so I can just picture that day where he would have been pushed around and humiliated. Go away, Zacchaeus, not now. But he wanted to see, so he climbed a tree. Probably people laughing at him. It would have been humiliating to have to climb a tree. And the setup was for Jesus to humiliate him as well publicly in front of all these people. But Jesus, of course, did not. Jesus once again crossed a boundary to seek the lost, as he said. He did what was unexpected. He circumvented cultural conventions, religious purity laws, to offer a chance to someone who truly saw it, who truly sought change. How do we know that he truly sought change? I believe because he ran ahead and climbed a tree. He was desperate inside. He might have said he just wanted to see, but I believe he yearned for more than just wanting to see. He wanted to repent. He wanted to make amends, and boy, did he make amends. 4 times over did he make amends. Jesus gave him an opportunity to reconcile himself with his community, to live in peace with his community, and not at odds with it. He wanted change. He wanted change. When I arrived in Massachusetts, I said to myself, well, I just wanted some rest. I wanted a break. I wanted a chance to get away. It was a very stressful time leading up to that, traveling across the country from Arizona. I got there just in time for the meeting that would start our week on Friday night. So I felt like I just kind of crashed into the dorm and unloaded my stuff, took a deep breath. I just wanted some break. But as I learned throughout those 8 days, that I yearned for much more than that, much more than just a break. I got much more. And like Zacchaeus, I needed it. And I wasn't supposed to be someone who knew where they are in life like Zacchaeus. He has his place, he has his job, he's presumably middle-aged to an older person, set up well. I'm someone that's supposed to be an expert in Bible, in prayer, in spirituality, all those things, yet I still had things to learn. You've heard of the adage, an old dog can't learn new tricks. Well, yes, yes, they can. Yes, everyone can. Everyone can with Jesus. It is possible. Change is possible. And if we can change as individuals, maybe we can change as communities. Maybe we can change as a nation, as a world. When Columbine High School shooting happened in 1999 and 12 people killed, I was shocked, like many people. We weren't used to those kinds of things in those days. I looked at some of the news replays on YouTube, and that was before HDTV, so there's these fuzzy news reports and out-of-date hairstyles, but it awakened within me an urge to be socially active, to do something in my outrage to this violence. So I joined official campaigns against violence, against school violence, against handgun violence. I donated to organizations. I called people. I signed petitions. I sent letters to Congress. Years passed. Things still happened. Change of a significant kind didn't happen in our country. These instances of violence still happened in Arizona, Wisconsin, in a military base in Fort Hood, Aurora movie theater, in an Amish school in Pennsylvania, at Virginia Tech, over 30 people were slain, and then in Sandy Hook Elementary, 26 souls, mostly first graders, 5 and 6-year-olds, shot to death. And as I was at that school location, I pictured what happened that day, because I was just come off a silent retreat. My emotions are open and raw. I can imagine this little town, all the media descending upon it, changed forever the people in that community. And for me, Sandy Hook represented the other bookend, Columbine and then Sandy Hook. And after Sandy Hook, well, I kind of lost hope for change in our society. I lost hope. I kind of gave up. I said to myself, well, if it could happen to these small victims, first graders, well, it could happen anywhere. And it happened in Washington State, Washington, D.C., at a Texas church, at a South Carolina church, at a military base in Tennessee, in Oregon, Colorado again, San Bernardino, Orlando, Las Vegas, and then in Parkland High School a month ago. Parkland, after that tragedy, kind of rekindled my hope. As I saw across the country, young people insisting on change, and we disagree about policies and politics, but anything, enough is enough. More prayer, better parenting, better community safety, more police presence, enforcing our laws as they exist. Whatever it takes, not again. Enough is enough. Can we change? Yes, we can change. It's not too late. We can change as individuals. If you've ever thought that you were past your prime, if you ever thought that Jesus can't see you, that you're too short, too insignificant, that you're too great of a sinner like Zacchaeus thought he might have been, it doesn't matter what people might have said about you, what people might think of you. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows that you can change. You are not hopeless. You can be thought of differently. And it can happen today. Are we ready to stand up like Zacchaeus and said, who said, today I'm going to do these things. Today I'm going to make change happen. It is the antidote to our pessimism of today, to our hopelessness of today. Jesus Christ is. To our aimlessness, to our apathy. It is possible, folks. Change is possible. Amen.